Thank you. Welcome, everybody. It is good to be back. This time last week, I was holed up with a bunch of teenagers. We had a wonderful time in North Carolina at our East Coast teen camp. I think I was actually speaking about this time last week to them. And there is nothing more rejuvenating than 3 days with teenagers, all committed to creating a space of unconditional love that is for the purpose of supporting, healing, and loving one another. And that's what we do at those camps. And I'm happy to announce, and this is, I'll get back to the welcome in a minute, but I'm happy to announce that Q, our own Q, Angela's grandson, and you've met him and seen him, was elected as the co-director for the East Coast. So he'll be participating nationally now in creating and developing those teen camps. So it's a really exciting time for him and for us. And we are looking for someone, because we have him and we have some others who will be coming to create a teen group here. And so while I'm thinking about it, if you're interested in working with teenagers and learning more about this teaching than you ever imagined, because you'll learn it there, give it some thought and talk to me. We are looking for some people to do that. All right, so enough of that. If you're here for the first time, thank you, and you're welcome. We're glad you're here, and we're glad to know that this is a place where you can be loved and supported. That's what our purpose is. We are here to develop and teach spiritual practices and spiritual principles in a way that allows you to create a greater, more satisfying, and more meaningful life for yourself. This is a place where you are appreciated for who you are. Whatever your background, whatever your identifiers, whatever names you use. One of the wonderful things we do at Teen Camp, we do have quite a range nowadays. You know, we don't just have boys and girls and gay and straight. We have non-binaries, we have males and females, and we have gender-specific and gender-non-specific, and we have a whole array of various gender identities that are showing up among people. And we have an array of sexual fluidity as well. So whoever you are and wherever you land in any of that spectrum, we also have a huge range of people who come from different cultures and different ethnicities, different languages. We honor and celebrate all of that, because that is Spirit's opportunity to show up as an individual expression of itself and bring the very best of itself to all of those expressions. So whoever you are, welcome. This is a place where you're not just where you are honored, appreciated, and celebrated for whoever you are. Age groups don't matter, none of that. We're just human beings having spiritual experiences and supporting each other in that process. This is a place where like-minded people come together. It's a place where we really look at honoring and respecting each other and learning to live in a way that provides a model for a different way to be together that the rest of the world out there really needs. So thank you. We're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. So part of what we do here is we do all of that based on some really core principles that are very ancient. We call it New Thought, which is kind of curious because these are not new thoughts. And yet what's new is they're put together in a new way, in a different way. And it's combining things from all over the world, from all of the major religions. And it's pulled together into a set of beliefs that we practice, a set of principles. And we ask you, if you'd like to join me in reading them, to please stand and do so. And if not, that's okay. You don't have to aspire to any of this. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Thank you. Have a seat. So each week we invite a practitioner which is a person who has been trained in this teaching, who knows how to use these principles for themselves, in this case herself, and for each for other people as well. So what reason to have these folks up here is because they bring a bigger, broader consciousness than just one person. So we are a community of spiritual beings here. So part of honoring that is asking a practitioner to come forward each week and do this. And today we have my old school colleague and wonderful person and wonderful practitioner, Judy Ailey. Thank you.
Good morning. How's everyone doing? All right. Well, we've made it almost to the end of January.
Woo-hoo.
And it really feels like, to me, it feels like time is just zooming by, right? But anyway, you all look great, I just want to say. And you know, when I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about this morning, what I always come back to, the bottom line for me is just really how grateful I am to be here and for this teaching and to be a part of a center like this that presents the principles, the metaphysical principles, the science of mind, new thought in such a clear, beautiful way. You know, being able to come here on Sunday with like-minded friends feels really is crucial in my life. I don't know what I would do without this. You know, in Atlanta, we have a great legacy of teachers from this teaching, starting with Dr. Kennedy Schultz, and I know that some of you knew him and were students of his. Then we had Paul and David, and now we have our wonderful minister, Dr. Bob Dean. So I'm just so grateful because, you know, in this world, we get so many messages, you know, around us all the time, and it's so easy to get off track, right? So easy to focus on other stuff. It's so easy to focus on appearances that are not the truth. So I am grateful today to remember that at the heart of it all, there is one good. And that this oneness is never divided against itself. It's what I am, it's what you are, it's what we all are. We're completely immersed in it, we're surrounded by it, we're filled with it, always. So if we're dealing with something in our life that is different than this goodness, you know, we take this time to know something better about ourselves. Rather than ruminating and worrying about it, we focus our attention on the good. On this perfect presence, on the one thing that is the truth of our perfection. And I remember hearing one time that if you're in the midst of worry or doubt or fear, you're really just adding energy to whatever that appearance is. So I'm here to remind us that we're here to do our spiritual work, which is to know something better, and then I would advise to do something to distract yourself from whatever you're worried about. Go on a walk, pet your cat or your dog, read a mystery novel, work in your yard, whatever. But just don't give it any more focus and energy. So here, I wanted to just, I forgot to bring my book up here, so I snuck back down and got it. Anyway, I wanted to read a quote from the Science of Mind textbook written by Ernest Holmes, the founder of our teaching. And this is on page 53. We talked about this morning, actually. The original spirit is harmony. It is beauty and truth and everything that goes with ultimate reality. The universe is not divided against us. We should learn to control our thought processes and bring them into line with reality, a capital R. Thoughts should tend more and more toward an affirmative attitude of mind that is positive, stable, and above all else, towards a real unity with spirit that is already complete and perfect. We should be able to look at a discordant fact in the face and deny its reality. We should know that we are able to look at a wrong condition with the knowledge that we can change it. And, you know, I just want to add to this that, you know, if you're not well, if you're dealing with lack or limitation, loneliness, sadness, whatever it is, those things are happening in your life. So, you know, we can't say that they're not happening, but what we can do is know that behind that, beyond it, that at the heart of who we are, there is something better. There is a wholeness and a perfection. So that's what I'm trying to say today. So with that, I'd like to lead us in a opening prayer or spiritual mind treatment. So if you'll just get comfortable in your seats and relax and close your eyes if you want to do that. And let us just take a moment to really know our wholeness and our connection to this universal power, this oneness, this thing that is never divided against itself. So here's what I know, and I'm going to say this in the first person, so please accept this for yourself as I do this for myself. I know that there is one power, one presence, one life, one love, one intelligence, and one goodness. And that this presence, this power, this goodness permeates everything, whether it's me, whether it's things that I look at in the world, that this power and this presence is pulsating the life in all of it. At the heart of this is spiritual wholeness, spiritual completeness, and perfection in every way. So, I just take a moment to know my oneness with this. And as I know this in greater and greater ways in my life, that the appearance of anything other than this begins to melt away, begins to transform into a life that is filled and whole and complete, that is abundant and prosperous, that is filled with fun and joyous opportunities, that is filled with new ideas, that is an expression through a body that is absolutely vibrant and healthy in every way, and transforming into a body that grows in its health, in its wholeness, in its perfection. I know this for myself. I know that this is the truth of who I am, that I am put here on this earth to live a life that is full, fun, joyous, expanding in good in every way. So I open myself up to knowing this, to seeing this, to seeing the good in every situation around me, to seeing the good in the people that I interact with, to seeing beyond appearances, and to knowing the truth of this reality. I turn away from struggle or strain or worry or fear or doubt or just all the stuff that's happening out there. I just turn away from that and say, there's a way for this stuff to be better, to transform, to express the goodness of this one power that we call God. That this power does express through all of life, and we are the place that it expresses in the world. So we just allow this to be so. I'm so grateful for this teaching in my life and to be here this morning and to know this. I'm grateful for the message that we're going to hear, that it touches each of us in a profound new way, that's what we're here for, and we experience that. That is who we are. So we just touch into that place of wholeness, of completeness, and of goodness. So I release this now, knowing that it is so, and together we say, and so it is.
There's a place out beyond right doing and wrong doing. There's a field. I will meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full for words. You get that? That's from the great mystic, Sufi mystic, Rumi, who wrote tons of poetry, whose personal life evolution shows up in his work and in his showing and his connection. Today we're talking about what the mystics taught. We're looking at that basic idea from this teaching. The first four essays in the textbook talk about the mental and emotional and spiritual work of this teaching, the creative work. The work around the mystics, which is further over in the book, is still basic, but it's looking at how does this make sense with all of the rest of what we see and hear and know and have heard about. How is the mystical tradition played out here? And so I ask you, how many of you are mystics? Any mystics? I see a few hands. Okay. If you're not sure, it's okay. And if you don't want to admit it, that's even better. Or I don't guess it matters. Ernest Holmes and others, but largely we're talking from his perspective today, he describes a mystic as anyone who recognizes the unity and oneness with God, with spirit, with life, with that creative force behind everything. Whether they've studied it, whether that a person has worked it, sat in a cave and meditated, whatever they may have done is secondary to a simple recognition. Wow, I'm connected. I'm one. And that's what we think of as a mystical experience. I've had a few of those. I think I shared with you once before. I went on a trip to San Francisco on my way to our conference at Asilomar, and got to up on top of one of the Twin Peaks to watch the sunset. And of course, the fog rolled in as it does in San Francisco, and you couldn't see a sunset. So we jumped in the car and rushed down to the beach. Thought, well, maybe at that level we could see it once it drops below the fog. And we did, and it did. And when the sun dropped below the fog, it was mystical. It was beautiful. It was magical. It was goosebump time. It was one of those days and times and moments when we were in the right place at the right time. We saw sunsets. We saw sailboats. We saw dolphins jumping. And when all of that cleared, we looked behind us and the full moon was rising. It was just magical. There was no question in my thought process anywhere, am I part of this? It's here. It's me. It's there. And I suspect everyone in here can point to times, moments in your life where you just knew you were connected. First time it happened to me when I was about 12 years old, and I had a habit at that point of going to church early because I loved to go to the Baptist church because it was a whole lot healthier than my house. So I would head up to the church, and I'd help put out programs, and I'd help straighten things up and get ready for the morning. And I got there ahead of anybody else. It wasn't unlocked. And I was sitting on the steps waiting and just had a real sense of connection to all of life, just sitting on those steps and going, wow, I belong here. I'm loved here. I am part of the love of God, is how I understood it at the time. I wouldn't have thought or said love of the universe, but it meant the same thing. I just had different words. See, so there's a core idea that all the mystics in various traditions, and I'm going to go through those in just a moment, that comes back to this idea that there is one power, one light, one life, and we're it. Nobody else. You don't have to go do something. You don't have to jump through any hoops. You don't have to become something in order to be part of it. You don't have to sign up somewhere. You don't have to put money in a plate. You just are part of that wonderful universe. And the power of learning about the mystics and learning about how all that has worked and them learning to recognize it comes from not by trying to create us, you know, connect us up to be mystics, but to allow us to recognize what we're already living in. And I use the example quite often. We're like fish swimming around looking for water. If we don't realize that we are already in this mystical, beautiful, amazing energy called life, called God, called spirit, whatever we call it. The core message is the same. It's a realization of oneness in everything that is. Christian mystics talk about courting the present. And it's very interesting. All the way back to the first century, Christian mysticism wasn't concerned about evil at all. They weren't concerned about following rules or laws or getting baptized or not. What they were concerned about, what they were focused on, was how do I experience the Christ consciousness more thoroughly and fully within my own experience and life in a way that makes my life different, but also that is bringing greater good to the world. That's where they were. That's what they were about. And that tradition runs all the way up to the present. And there's a wonderful Franciscan mystic that's going to be speaking at our convention in February, Richard Rohr, who has a center. And they all they are working on there is, well, one of his books that I absolutely love the title of is The First Bible is Nature. That sounds different probably from what you often hear from folks who are in those traditions. But he starts with the idea that the real life of life is understood through nature, whether you have Bible words for it or not, or whether you have language that you were trained in or not, it's there for us to connect with in whatever way we do. Whether it's kids playing in the woods or just feeling a sunset, or going to the beach, or walking out your door, or sitting in your living room, and feeling, especially with all this rain and cold weather we've been having, I feel quite mystical sitting in my living room, staying nice and cozy and warm and dry. Nothing wrong with that. The Hindu mystics were masters of mysticism, and they were masters of psychism, which is similar to mysticism. Psychism is the ability to tap into the universal consciousness that we all live in and pick up things for ourselves and other people. That's how psychics work, and where the power of that is understanding what already is. Whereas mysticism is connecting to the power of God that is. And that goes way beyond simply the collective consciousness of the human race. Many people find psychics to be very helpful, and I'm not putting that down at all. I'm just saying it's a limited perspective. Because the greater truth for you lies in your immediate connection with the infinite that you have within you and that's built in. You don't have to do anything to go get it. Hindus teach, Hindu mystics will teach in Kriya Yoga, they teach a way of working with energy and working with consciousness that creates some pretty magical kinds of things. They talk about meditating for 8, 10, 12 hours at a time, and in that process reaching a state of consciousness where they can see through walls, they can see people approaching from down the road well before they ever show up. They can experience and recognize energy forms and focus where physical things stop being physical and simply look like energy patterns. If I meditated 8 hours, I could probably do that too, but with the right training. And I actually have experienced that once with a group of people who were really dedicated to raising our consciousness to a point where we could see and experience those things. And we were in a hotel with about 100 of us, and been meditating and chanting and working all day and working with our consciousness to clear out all doubt and all fear. And I could see people in the hallway on the other side of the wall when they would go by. They were like heat signatures on the wall. It was phenomenal. But it was all psychism. Nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful. Mysticism is when in those moments when you know you're in God's world and God's in your world and you're it, and there's no separation whatsoever. And that goes way beyond seeing through walls. Make sense? The other thing that this does, and the other reason, or the other group I would mention is New Thought Mystics, Emma Curtis Hopkins, whose approach to this whole teaching is about recognizing where we are and who we are and what we are living in. And her language is a kind of quasi-Christian language, but it's a beautiful thing, and it opens up. If you study her and you read her and you read her out loud, it has a mystical quality that begins to kind of open things up in your consciousness, in your mind. One of my favorite people at Holmes Institute, where the institute I used to run before I came here, which is a master's degree in consciousness studies, Amit, I lost his name for a second, Goswami. He has a book called Our Self-Aware Universe. He's a physicist, and he's worked with physics as well as metaphysics, and he's developed a whole way of thinking and talking and recognizing how physics simply explains what we teach and have taught. He's from India originally and had spent many years there. He was in one of the movies, The Secret, and something else you may have recognized or seen him. But he says this. He says, if ordinary people really knew that consciousness, not matter, not the physical, is the link that connects us with each other and the world, then their views about war and peace, environmental pollution, social justice, religious values, and all the other human endeavors would change radically. Not saying what they would change to, but they would change radically because we would recognize that the physical stuff is secondary to consciousness, is secondary to the emotional, spiritual beingness of being together and being connected. It's beautiful stuff. Okay, Bob, that all sounds real pretty. So what? Anybody else think of that? Or just me? I can get into meditation, I can get into thinking about and feeling these ideas, feeling them more than thinking about them. It's like you can't explain it when you're really in that state. I can really play in that world a lot and enjoy it, which is why I sometimes can't remember details and schedules and what have you. But, so what? What does that do for anybody? See, mystics recognize truth. Now that's a big bite to talk about truth. And I'm not even going to pretend to define it for you because truth is it's a whole wild world of conversation. But what I do want to say is that when we talk about the mystics in truth, when we talk about truth as we see or feel or experience it or know it, we're not talking about agreeing with an idea. It is that, but it's more. The truth isn't an idea that you say that I think, oh yeah, that's the truth for me. It might be that, but it's more. Truth is what happens when you hear, see, experience, feel something that just rings right in you and you don't know what it is or why sometimes even. When you read a passage or you hear something you've heard 1,000 times and meant nothing and all of a sudden one day you go, oh, that's what that is. So that the words and the meaning on the surface don't get to us, but that sense within us of truth. This is what matters. This is real. This is beyond words, and we know it. So thinking about this, talking about this, learning this, is not so that we force those things to happen, because we can't. You can't force a mystical experience. Believe me, I've tried. It never cooperates. Get everything aligned, get the candles lit, get all the right music going, get all the stuff, you know, and you just like, oh yeah, here we go. I'm gonna get it this time. And the phone rings, or something gets, you know, somebody knocks at the door, or some other thing happens, or it just sits there and you feel blank. It's not what we're doing. But what does happen is by practicing those things, by practicing meditation, by practicing listening within to your own connections with life and with yourself by turning away from all the chatter outside. I love what you said. I love this teaching because it helps me get away from all those other messages I hear and go to the ones that matter, which are the ones inside each of us. When you do that, what you're really doing is courting. It's like a courting dance. You're courting the infinite. You're courting the presence of the infinite. And you're inviting it. And often when you least expect it, in the strangest places sometimes, that mystical moment of knowing I am one with all of it, it's all part of me, and nothing can change that. Holmes had that experience whenever he was speaking. He was speaking to a group, a big crowd, and he started talking about this wonderful teaching and how it expands out to all people and expands out to the universe and expands out to the other dimensions. And the next thing he did, he just kind of went blank and just stood there. And they said he stood and did not move for about 5 minutes. And there's a recording of it somewhere. And then when he sort of shook his head and came back, he said, you know, that's enough for today, and sat down. He wouldn't talk about it, never shared about it, but wrote about it. And that was shared then later, after he passed away. That was his agreement, that he would talk about it. Because he did not want people to turn him into some idea of a great guru who knew all the answers or had some mystical connection with God. Because more than anyone else could. He was dedicated to the idea that everyone has the capacity to be a mystic. We are by our nature mystics. The problem is we get sidetracked. The problem is we get off on different directions. We get caught up in yes and no. We get caught in the world of right doing and wrong doing, right thinking and wrong thinking, right behaving and wrong, all of that. And once you get there, you're out of the world of oneness and you're into this split. And once we fall into that place, it's hard to hear the other. Except occasionally, you know, it breaks through in the midst of, oh my God, yeah. And you get that moment. And when you do, it transforms who we are and how we are the rest of the time in the world. So to court the presence, be present. That's a challenge nowadays. I have a challenge with it. I'm not the only one. Or maybe I am. I don't think so. It's a challenge to be present with yourself because there's so many distractions. Right? TVs, messages. We're never in the quiet. We're bombarded with noise, with sound, with ideas, with thoughts, with this and that. And to the point that we as human beings at this time of our lives have learned to tune so much of that out, but we also tune out the good stuff if we're not careful. Or we use addictions to stay numb or to go away and not experience it. Or in my personal case, I use Facebook and YouTube as my escapes. So then I'm getting information and it feels really good, but I'm not with myself. I'm with the information. Courting the presence is being present with yourselves, being present with ourselves, so that this infinite power can supply us with the good ideas and the feeling and the knowing. This is the right choice for me. This is where I need to go. This is what I need to do. This is how I love better and deeper and greater and more powerfully. Meditation opens the door for that. All kinds of meditation. Eye-open meditation, mindful meditation, mindless meditation, walking meditation, staring at the sunset meditation. You name it. See, our teaching is a teaching. It's a spiritual practice. We say it's a philosophy of faith and a way of life, and it is all of that. That can guide us, because I will tell you, those mystical experiences, when they occur, and you know this, you've had them, those are the ones that make it all worth it, that make it rich and wonderful and help you stay feeling like it matters who you are and that you're alive. Takes you to a place of love. This is from the ancient Vedas. The Vedas predate Hinduism and are the teachings that the yogis built their work on that later developed into Hinduism. Here's one of them. When you know beyond any doubt that a single life force flows through everything, and that you are this life, then you love all beings naturally and effortlessly. And when you realize the depth and fullness of love for your own self, you will know that every living being and the entire universe are included in your care. You are not in the body. The body is in you. Holmes' version of that is, you are not, he says it the same way, you're not in your body, your body lives in you. You are more than your body. Your body is, the body is just the vehicle that you walk through time and space with. But that's not who you are. You're so much more. And I'll leave you with a final quote from a Western mystic and writer and philosopher. I'm not sure he would have called himself a mystic, but this might be familiar. No man, and I'll use his words, even though it, for me it means all people, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away from by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were, as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own, a manor as in a manor house, not unlike this one, if that were washed away or taken away, any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. Therefore, never ever sin to ask, sin to find out for whom the bell tolls, for it tolls for thee. Join me, if you will, in a bit of meditation. As I breathe deeply and I listen within, I listen for the bell of experience, the bell of actions, the bell of awareness as it tolls for my attention. And so I sink into that place, past right and wrong, past right doing and wrong doing, into that field that is beyond that and defies words. Letting the words go quiet and just reaching out with my awareness and being aware of the larger me, aware of the me that is larger than my body. Then when I'm aware of it, I really can't tell where my physical self stops or starts. I go past the chatter and the yes and the no's and all of that. And I tap into that feeling and the awareness that love is bigger than any of that. It's bigger than a feeling. It's bigger than a thought. It's way past that. And I let myself feel love now. Know love now in whatever way I can. Love for myself. I let that love reach out to those around me, my family, my sisters and brothers here in this space together. I let my love go out to the building itself, thinking of all that it has provided for so many people for so long. A beautiful space for creativity and truth. And I let that expand out to the city of Atlanta, letting my love flow out to all people in Atlanta, all walking their own path through this, and as part of this one flow of life. I release any judgment of seeing anyone as less than. And I just let the love that I am expand out. And I allow it to stretch further out to the whole state of Georgia, to the United States, and spread all around the world. So the planet itself becomes encapsulated in the love that I am. All of this universe lives in me. And I imagine myself in space looking back at it, back at the planet, back at the solar system, traveling out further and further, past the stars, past the light, into the abyss, out of which everything comes. It too lives within me. And I bring a sense of this presence and this awareness with me back into my everyday walking around world, knowing that it hasn't gone anywhere. I've just turned my attention elsewhere as I begin to be aware that all is well in God's world, all is well in my world, and I let that wellness permeate everything. I'm grateful this is so. I'm grateful that I have the mental capacity to do this. And in that gratitude, I release this treatment now, knowing this work is done. I am complete. For today, I'll let it be, and so it is. Thank you. Big breath. So as we move into the next part of our celebration, we do so by bringing forward the vice president of our board and a practitioner, but today he's functioning as a board member, so Lee Huffman. Thank you.
Look back at Vance, right, to see if you're up and running. So thank you, Bob. That was marvelous. As Bob said, I'm a practitioner, and it's been my honor to serve for coming up on 6.5 years as a board member here at the center, and 5 years as a vice president of the board, and it's truly been an honor. I will be stepping down in March when we have our annual meeting, and that's just, 4 or 5 weeks away. Mm-hmm. It's coming real close. So it's meant a whole lot for me to serve you folks on the board here. And, there's so many ways to serve in this community. And we start by just showing up. And while this is supposed to be a little bit of a talk about giving, I'd like to ask you to give something else over the next few weeks. I'd like to ask you to give a handout to your friends and invite them to come and join us, because this community is too important to be kept secret and to be kept quiet. And we have lots of good people here that come, and I just want you to think about who in your neighborhood or who in your friends or who in your family might want to come and join us and understand this teaching more, because it is powerful in all of our lives. Most of you know that I'm a business coach, and I work with business owners. And when I look at where businesses struggle, it is primarily on getting people to show up, getting customers to show up. And I see that in the churches and the centers all around the world. And so it's up to you to really reach out and bring somebody in. So I'd like to recommend that and ask you to think about that over the next few weeks especially. It's the start of a new year. We're still at the start of the new year, even though it's going very fast, right, Judy? but I just want to have you think about that. So. The other thing I want you to think about is a term that David Barrett and Paul Gagne used a lot, which is, we give till it feels good, not till it hurts. You know, because giving does feel good, contributing to this organization and to what we have here, to putting us in this beautiful building. You know, we've set some goals and we've cut back on a number of things to keep us in this building. And we've looked around a lot about CSL Midtown. How do you do that if you can't find a location in Midtown? And this is a beautiful location for us. If you know of another location, we may be looking in the next coming months. Actually, we are looking right now. Because this is, well, it's extremely good as to how much we're spending here for this location. It's obviously more. We have a lot of empty seats than what we need, and it's obviously costing us more than what we can afford right now. So I look at that and say, not to put a negative on this beautiful talk and meditation that we had this morning, but just to tell you the truth about things are tight, and we have a lot of opportunities to reach out and expand the community, expand the consciousness of this community through Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. So now is our opportunity to support the center, both through your giving and through the thoughts that you have for the center. And as they pass the baskets around, I would like to ask you to think about putting more than your money into it. Put your energy into it. Put your heart into it. Put your spirit into those baskets and know that this is a place that you love and that you are here for. I know that I'm here for it. And I know that I've really enjoyed this teaching so much and what Bob is bringing to it and what the whole community is bringing to it. I want to really thank everybody that has already gives regularly. I know we look around and the plate gets passed and people don't put money in it, but that's because a lot of people are putting money in on a regular basis through Fellowship One every month or every other week or whatever. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I want to invite you as individuals to put in what you feel is right and what is good. So say yes to this community.